Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Allen right knee down. Turns toward Cardona in a 10-3 Patriots lead. Extends the hand, receives the snap. Swing of the right leg. Kick driven to the uprights. And the kick is good.
Ball game.
Two possession game.
That's
72 seconds remain in Super Bowl 53.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. A boring Super Bowl, but nonetheless a triumphant. Did you see the video of Trey Wingo going like insane about people not liking the Super Bowl?
I heard that it was one of those situations where before the show he was like, I'm going to go all in, and I'm going to ramp it up, and I'm going to give you a rant for the ages.
And I'm going to do the safest rant of all time, because the NFL is a partner with this network.
Sure.
And I'm going to, and he blows up, and listen, I blow up over stupid stuff, but I defy you. It's not where, I don't even want to play it, but he goes like insane. And he's like, I'm sick of people complaining about the Super Bowl and you watch it. Why don't you just put it on Netflix? Oh, this is boring. Then why did you watch it? I don't know, idiot. Because I had people over? Because it's boring. I mean, you were watching it. It was boring. What do you possibly... Now I'm yelling about it. What do you possibly care about if people watched something and said it was boring? You know what? I watched Maroon 5. They sucked. So now I have to, I can't say that?
No.
I mean, I watched it because the comedy of it was fantastic.
You could have turned it off and watched Netflix.
Yeah, I could have told everyone at the house I was at that I wanted to turn it off and watch Netflix. I mean, imagine, because it's such a butt boy like thing to like go, oh, the NFL, you know, if you don't like the NFL, oh, really? Like your sponsors, the asses that you have to kiss? I am sick of it. If you don't like it, then turn the channel. Oh, shut up. This isn't some First Amendment thing, you dummy. This is the effing Super Bowl.
I almost wish it was boring. It was more frustrating than anything. Like, it's just, you're just frustrated. Because it wasn't boring because it was close near the end, but you're just frustrated. Why can't they score?
Well, I don't know. The defense got eight punts in a row. It was fairly boring. And you knew Goff was never going to do anything. And regardless, if you're a Patriots fan, it's great. It's the largest margin of victory the Patriots have had in the Super Bowl. All I'm saying is, it was, if you find the Trey Wingo thing, it was the most half-assed, forced, clinging to trying to appease the powers that be at the NFL thing that you'll see in a very long time. And he's all red-faced. And then Golic's son, who's, you know, nepotism at his finest, is sitting there with his sleeve tattoos, and he's looking at the control room like, what's going on?
We've got off the rails here, people.
Yeah, and then one of the guys in the control room has got his, like, fists up in the air, and he's like, yeah.
Tell him, Wingo.
Yeah, tell him how much you love our corporate sponsors. Tell him how much you like the product that we air.
Well, there was a, you whether you found it boring or not, anytime they do a mic'd up segment where you get to hear what the people on the field are saying during the Super Bowl, it's usually pretty damn fantastic. And you learn things about the game and maybe about certain players or coaches that you might not have known beforehand. I think out of all the things I saw, the one guy that I learned the most about was Sean McVay. Now, everyone has been freaking out about how he is the young brainchild. He's this, everyone will try to hire coaches exactly like a young Sean McVay. We want an offensive mind and this genius.
Right.
And then, you know, he kind of started talking before the Super Bowl saying, I get these texts from Bill Belichick, and it's great that I get these texts. And Bill Belichick I apparently told him to shut up, because then he kind of backtracked and said, well, maybe I'm downplaying a little bit, blah, 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 blah. Listen to Sean McVay before the game walking up to Bill Belichick and talking to him. All right. This is before the game started. And here he is walking up to him and just kind of saying hello.
Trying to look for you. Like, you know me.
So much respect for you.
Likewise.
You're the best.
You've done a great job.
Yeah. So, you know, you're the best, man. The way that you guys are able to shift your identity and really still be able to figure it out, I mean, week in and week out, it's unbelievable, man. Really, so much respect for you and the way you do it, man. You're what's right about coaching.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, coach.
It's like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney.
That was awesome.
Remember one of those things where you're, like, telling someone something and they're not responding.
Yeah.
So you keep talking.
Oh, sure. You want to get some sort of reaction.
Yeah. Like, it's a technique that people use.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Just stay like, it's a sales technique. If you're selling something to someone and then you just at one point stop talking.
Yeah.
They'll convince themselves into buying what you want to end the silence.
And meanwhile, Bill's like, yeah, cool. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
You guys are good.
Like,
yeah,
you know, he's and Bill's very respectful when he first gets over there. Gives a handshake. And then, like, McVay, like, keeps following him around. He's like,
trying to look for you. Like, you know,
so much respect for you.
Yeah, he's the best. He's done a great job.
Yeah, so, you know, you're the best, man. The way that you guys are able to shift your identity and really still be able to figure it out, I mean, week in and week out, it's unbelievable, man. Really, so much respect for you and the way you do it, man. You're what's right about coaching.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, coach.
Guy's 33 years old.
Good God.
Guy's 11 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly half of Belichick's age.
Yeah, half of Belichick's age, and he's doing that. And on top of that, like, everyone's saying how he, like, connects with his players and stuff. Well, there was one part where at halftime, where they were down, I think, 3-0 at that point, this high-powered offense hadn't scored, and you could hear Sean McVay, a little bit of his speech to his players.
All right, hold up, hold up.
Hang on, this is it right here. Here it goes. Oh, hang on, that's not it. Okay, oh, here it is right here.
Hey, we got one half right now, man. You guys should feel real good about where we're at because, hey, that's all you can ask for, man. Down 3, we get the ball coming out. All right, defense doing a great job. Guys all good?
Sure.
Believe it, man? Me too, man. All right, let's get it done.
Best second half we got. Let's go.
Hey, nice and easy one play at a time, man. It's just like we haven't played a snap yet.
I know.
That's the mindset we take.
My respect level for Sean McVay kind of like started going into the toilet as I was watching this. Like, he's just like, all right, guys, here, what do you say? By the way, he sounds like the faster guy. He sounds exactly like the faster guy.
I mean, he sounds like a guy who's his size, and I hate myself for thinking that 33 is young, but I never thought there'd be a day where I thought 33 was young. But I, in fairness to him there, I mean, you're talking to professional athletes.
Understood.
I don't think that you can give a Rudy speech.
But I will say one thing, and that is Bill Belichick was wanting to know where Sean McVay was at all times. Like, you remember how at the end of Super Bowl, the one where Malcolm Butler ended up? Okay. Do you remember how on the mic'd up, he was watching Pete Carroll, and that's kind of how he figured out whether or not to, you know, call any timeouts or just roll with it and do that.
Right.
So that was the one thing. This is, during the game, Bill Belichick looking at the sidelines on the other side.
Josh, where's McVay? I can't find him. Plus 40. All right, I got it.
Bill Belichick is always looking for an edge.
Okay, so the whole time, he's like looking over the other side, and he gets in his headset, Josh, where's McVay? I can't find him.
He can't use his Jedi mind trick.
No, he can't
see him.
He can't, and like he's trying to figure it out just by watching the other coach.
What's the reasoning for looking for him?
Well, okay, so what was the explanation during the Super Bowl, like when they were on that last drive, and everyone was saying, should he call a timeout?
It's kind of like playing poker. You're looking for, the way I read it was, you're looking for tells, and he knew watching Pete Carroll that he had an advantage. So Pete Carroll, the game was speeding up for him. He was going 80 million miles an hour. And because of that, he saw Seattle was disorganized and decided not to call a timeout.
Okay.
He's looking for McVay for tells.
Oh, and like, it was so
like
strange.
Ernie Adams doesn't have like a listening device.
Apparently not. I mean, Ernie Adams has like other 18 other secretive things he's
doing. But just the mild panic that Bill Belichick has, like losing sight of Sean McVay, is really kind of interesting.
Oh, sure.
And if you listen to the way Sean McVay talks to his players, and many players, and as I said, you know, despite what we're hearing, they do respect him, and they've talked about how they think he's, you know, a player's coach, and they like him. You know, then there's Bill Belichick talking to his defense.
All right, hold up. Let's go, defense, let's go. Defense, let's go. We got to get back on the line of scrimmage, get the call, get lined up. We missed the double, we missed the and play faster, all right? We have no problems with anything if we just can get it lined up right and do it, all right? keep playing vertical on the pass rush. Keep playing vertical in the running game. Let's get on the receivers. Look, Woods made a good catch, all right? I mean, he's going to make one. We're okay, but we got to play quicker with better communication, all right? Okay, let's go.
Hey, keep playing. Keep playing.
Yeah, and then of course, Devin McCourty is just constantly yelling at the defense, like constantly in their face.
The best part was Belichick saying, we know everything. We have no problems with anything.
Yeah, we got it.
As long as we get lined up, they have nothing they can throw at us that can beat us. That's tremendous.
And meanwhile, you've got Sean McVay.
Hey, we got one half right now, man. Mm-hmm. You guys should feel real good about where we're at.
There's only so much amperage in the universe.
Because, hey, it's all you can ask for, man.
And when an individual feeds on this amperage, then the government must intervene.
Believe it, man? Me too, man. All right, let's get it done.
I mean, he's the faster guy.
He does sound just like the faster guy.
And why it took us this long to realize
that. Because you listen to McVay talk.
That's an excellent point. He also kind of sounds like the rat friend of Gonzo.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever his name, Rizzo the Rat.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a Muppet thing going on.
Beef is a real winner nowadays.
But the faster guy absolutely nails it. All right, so we have more mic'd up stuff, and it's fantastic, including when the decision was made to either go for it on fourth down at the very end or have Gostkowski kick that field goal. And you'll be interested to find out who actually made that decision because it wasn't Bill Belichick.
Huh. No, was there any Adams?
It's always Ernie Adams.
He threw a ball from the press box. All right. Mike Gorman is going to join us. He can tell us all about what's going on with the Celtics. Despite all their winning, it looks like the franchise is on the brink of disaster. We will talk to him about all those things.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's Home for Sports.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Rebound batted around. Tracked down by Hayward. Hayward again finds Tice. That's the third time he's done that in the game.
Tons of layups and dunks. And Tice doing a great job getting his hands ready. And you notice when Gordon Hayward runs pick and roll, you can see right over the defense. And he's making those direct line passes.
You know, RKK listens to the show. I just picture him right now. Just
keep it bye-bye, dude.
Yeah. Says champions on this ice around my neck.
You know, Meek Mill. What can I say?
The brother
loves to give me the blame.
But that clip, that reporter who actually said, is that a rapper?
Yeah. And if Robert Kraft is saying you're a nerd, you have problems in your life. Mike Gorman is no nerd. He's a man about town. He is the Da Vinci of our times. He's also the voice of Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Gorman.
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It was actually fun this time. I enjoyed myself immensely there in Atlanta.
And you got home Friday night, right?
I got home. Yeah, we got Rich and I got home Friday evening. It was an opportunity to be annoyed by my family. And so there you have it. It was all good. I took your advice and went to Mike Gorman's where to go in terms of strip clubs and dancers to ask for.
it was a can't miss list, right?
Yeah, he has a Travelocity page.
It was a short list, very short list.
Yeah, well, I mean, only the best of the best for Mr. Gorman.
Well, it was good to see Tommy back last night.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
He was back in the studio last night, and I think he's planning on doing the Clipper game on Saturday night with me.
Oh, so, very cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's right.
Wow! So
very, very excited about that.
Okay, so he'll be back, you believe, for the entire game.
That's the plan.
Oh, that's awesome!
He plans to be sitting right next to me on Saturday night, so that's really good. And he went to the studio last night, did it, was didn't fall asleep. Everything went well.
Well, now you've obviously been keeping in touch with him and talking to him. You know, this has got to be frustrating the hell out of him. You know, watching these games, not being able to talk about it. In your conversations with him leading up to this, just how frustrated is he that it's taken this long for him to get back?
Extremely. you know, it took them so long to figure out what was wrong. You know, the good part about it for Tommy is that at 84, they checked his heart, they checked his lungs, they checked everything, and everything was working fine. So he got a major checkup and passed all the grades. It's just that when they finally figured out it was a sleep apnea issue, you know, he was able to settle in and now get some treatment. They got to get a mask that he's going to sleep in. We'll probably give him a hard time about that. But, yeah, he's definitely on the mend and right now well enough to do a game. So we just got our fingers crossed and looking forward to the Clippers on Saturday night.
Excellent. Well, that'll be good to see him back sitting right next to you. So we have not talked to you since Kyrie Irving made those comments where he could have shut down any kind of rumors of him wanting to leave at the end of the year. And he didn't. I mean, you know, he it was after making the comments at the beginning of the season that he wanted to resign. He was asked about it. He said, ask me on July 1st, and then kind of expanded on that sentiment. What did you make of what he said back in New York a couple of days ago?
I just felt like he was having a bad day. You know, Kyrie set very high expectations, and that's a great thing. He wants to win the whole thing. He wants to win it here in Boston if he can. He's going to win it somewhere else if he can't. But I still think he can win it here in Boston. The front office still believes in Kyrie. I just think he got caught on a bad day and said some things. As he had his brothers right now, he'd pull them back.
You know, Chris Mannix had a theory about that. He said that wasn't as much a comment towards the Celtics as it was, in his opinion, towards other players and teams trying to throw his name out there to determine where everyone else was going to go. In other words,
his destination would be determined by others.
Yeah,
that's what he was.
And it was his frustration with that. Do you read into that at all?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, again, you know, Kyrie is trying to do a lot of different things that he hasn't done before in his career, and he's trying to namely be the guy on a team. It's something he has expressed that he wants to be. And, you know, he doesn't want the Celtics in fourth place or third place. He wants the Celtics in the first place. So I don't think we should knock the guy for having very high expectations of both himself and what the team should be.
Okay, well, I'm starting to like what I see from the Celtics over the last, I mean, they've won like 9 of the last 10. A lot of them they should have won, but Then there was the Oklahoma City game, which was very impressive. And it seems to me like guys who had slow starts, like Jaylen Brown is playing great basketball. Every once in a while, you get a good game from Gordon Hayward, which is encouraging, like last night.
They are playing at an elite level since Marcus Smart entered the starting lineup after Thanksgiving.
And the thing is Marcus Smart is, we checked the stats this morning, he's in the top 50 in three-point shooting in the NBA. So are the problems solved? Have we finally found the secret chemistry that's going to carry them through the end of the season?
I think we've seen what this team can be, yes. They've won 10 of 11. They've averaged 118 points a game during that stretch. Everybody seems to be happy with the minutes they're getting. The rotation is good. Jaylen Brown is really playing the best basketball of his NBA career over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Jason Tatum is becoming a force early in games as opposed to becoming a force late, which is a positive. Marcus Morris is having his best year as a pro. There's a lot of good things going well for this team right now, and everybody seems pretty happy. I mean, traveling with them, they're an up-tempo bunch. You just said Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart, the starting lineup. That's where the whole thing changed. Everything changed with that move, and that's who the Celtics are. It allows them to start off the game with some toughness and some defensive intensity on the floor, and that becomes contagious, which has been very good for them. They've been very good in the first and second quarters, something they hadn't been. They've been playing behind earlier in the year, and now they're playing from in front, and they're a tough team to catch because they have so many good players.
Mike, trade deadline's tomorrow. Two questions. First, do you think the Celtics will make any moves? And second, are you worried about the Philadelphia 76ers trade overnight? Obviously, they now have a fantastic starting five, but the bench is still a massive problem for them.
Yeah, the bench is a problem, and I think Philly will probably try to make some more moves before the trade deadline to see if they come up with at least one bench player. That's a big trade. Tobias Harris is a very good player. He's only 26 years old. He's averaging over 20 points a game. He shoots threes at 43% and nearly 50% overall from the floor. He's just a very good player that the Clippers have already made the decision that they're looking to go down in the standings and clear as much space as they can. Right now, they have room for two max players, so they can find themselves in the hunt for Anthony Davis. and Kawhi Leonard. That could be the twosome that they're looking to put together. So, the next 24 hours are interesting. And to answer your question, will the Celtics do anything? I don't think so. I think I'd be hard pressed to come up with an area that I would say definitely needs improvement with this team. They're the only team in the top five in the league in blocks and steals, and that tells you that they're playing on the defensive end. And as I mentioned, over the last 11 games, they're averaging 118 points a game, so there's no complaints on the offensive end. So I don't think the Celtics make any moves. I'd be surprised if they did. I'd be surprised if the Anthony Davis thing doesn't continue, too. I don't think he's going to the Lakers in the next 24 hours. I'd be very surprised if he was.
Okay, well, let's say that they lose out on the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. What's plan B?
Well, plan B is what plan B always has been with Danny, and that is he'll try to make the best moves he can to make the team better. I mean, there are some interesting guys out there. Nobody's talking about Kevin Durant, who is available. Kemba Walker is available. Julius Randle is an interesting character who's available. I think Marc Gasol, that is allegedly going to be traded if it hasn't gone through yet to Charlotte, I believe that's an expiring contract, so he potentially is available. So there are other options for Danny to go to. But, you know, Danny's focused on Anthony Davis right now, and as long as the Celtics feel they have a chance for Anthony Davis, and they can, when you look at the package the Lakers put together and you look at the package the Celtics could potentially put together, if you're the general manager of New Orleans, you're going to talk to the Celtics and listen to what they have to say. And they can't do anything until the 1st of July, but that doesn't really change things for New Orleans. A lot of the stuff we hear that's coming from Anthony Davis is coming from his agents. And we all know that agents say what they need to say to get done what they think they want to get done. The truth, but maybe it's a separate issue. So until such time as I see Anthony Davis stand before a microphone and say, I do not and will not ever play in Boston, I just think the rest of the stuff is just smokescreen.
You mentioned Kevin Durant. Have you seen or read or talked to anybody that gives you any indication that he would want to come here?
That he would want to come to Boston? He listened the last time when they sent Tom Brady out. What was it, Nantucket? He was at Martha's Vineyard or something?
Yeah, and then Kelly Olynyk scared him away.
Yeah, right.
I have no indication that Kevin Durant wouldn't want to come here, put it that way. I think that the team that can really muddy up the waters for everybody in the Knicks.
I have no faith in that organization. I really don't. And maybe that's naivete, but I just think that they'll find some sort of way to F up this whole thing.
Well, you're not talking about a trade. They got nothing left to trade after the Porzingis deal. You're talking about free agency.
Well, I mean, sure, but maybe the free agency meeting with James Dolan ends up being a complete bust. I have a feeling they're going to do something stupid like sign Carmelo Anthony to a max deal again.
we had a shot in the Knicks game the other night of the Knicks brain trust, and they were all looking at their cell phones, and I said they were playing Candy Crush.
there's Durant, and I know that he had that meeting, but I haven't really read anything. I mean, all I've heard is, Knicks, and of course, one of the two L.A. teams, because the Clippers seem to be clearing out some space. What about Kawhi Leonard? I mean, because he's a free agent at the end of the year, too, and I know that for a while, Danny's really liked him, and this past year, I think most people were like, buyer beware, but now that we've seen that he is essentially the Kawhi Leonard of old, do you see Danny trying to court him?
I think Danny will court everybody. That's his job as the head of the basketball operations, and they're free agents. And once he can get to talk to them, he will actively court anybody and everybody that he thinks can make the team better. I mean, that's the bottom line. The thing that is good in Boston here is everybody's on the same page. The coach is on the same page as Danny. The ownership is on the same page as Danny. You look at New Orleans, for instance, and you're getting one thing out of the general manager, you're getting another thing out of the agent representing Davis, you're getting another thing out of the owner. That doesn't happen in Boston. It's a pretty unified approach here, and I think when free agents are approached by the Celtics, that's one of the things that they raise their eyebrows at and are surprised at in a positive way, is that everybody seems to be on the same page with one goal, which is to win championships. And if you're a free agent, that's what you want to hear out of an organization. You don't want to hear, with you, we can make the playoffs. With the Celtics, with Danny, it's with you, we can win a championship. And again, as long as they're driven by that, we as Celtics fans are going to benefit.
All right, Mike Gorman, it's an exciting time.
Hey, Hey, you're back, Fred.
I've been here all along, baby. I've been waiting my turn to pop in with some hard hitters.
All right. How's that book you sent me? That was intriguing.
Well, I'm glad that you picked it up. It's not like you don't have any free time over there on the plane.
No, I have a lot of free time. I'm the first one to admit that.
All right. Well, I'm not making fun of you. I'm telling you, but pick that thing up.
The book, I did pick it up. It's on the night table right now in a pile of books. It's in the queue, as they say.
Okay. Well, how many Fabio-covered books do you have to get through before you can get to what I suggested?
We don't have Fabio in my house.
All right. Well, Mike Gorman is a big...
I have the biography of Alex Ferguson staring me right in the eye. You know who Alex Ferguson is?
Yes, of course. He's a professional ping-pong player.
No. He's the guy who put Manchester United together. Made them the power in soccer that they are.
You cover sports for a living. Can't you take a break and expand your mind?
No, but I decided about 6 months ago that the whole world can't be wrong, so I was going to make myself into a soccer fan. So I picked Manchester United to be my team.
Come on, yeah. Mike.
Well, the world also dictated that Maroon 5 play the halftime show. So the world can be wrong sometimes.
Have fun in Manchester, by the way, when you go there. It's quite the tourist destination.
Not the best spot. I've been there myself. It's.
I'll send you a picture when I'm standing on the pitch.
Nice.
Oh, you have
terms and everything. And maybe you can take some ecstasy and pretend it's 1995 again. All right. Yeah.
What?
There was a huge Manchester rave scene. Am I wrong or am I right?
Manchester what?
Give me the names of the bands.
Blur? You're talking about...
No.
Prodigy?
Blur's not from there. No, like Happy Mondays and... Dan, you know. Happy Mondays.
The Soup Dragons?
No, you saw the thing...
24-hour party people?
Yeah, that's all about the Manchester...
Oh, okay. All right.
Smiths.
Smiths are from 1955. Okay. Do you see the ignorance I deal with, Mr. Gorman?
I do. But you just plow through it, though, and that's what's important.
Do you know what I'm doing today?
No, what are you doing?
At 11 a.m. Do you know Matt Taibbi?
Yeah, I remember Matt Taibbi.
He's a political writer.
Yeah.
I am being interviewed for his new book.
You are? What's his new book?
It's about the divisiveness in politics and the way the media covers it. And he has chosen me as a prime intellectual example of a media member who rages against that machine.
Very impressive. There you go.
Huh?
You can build it on the talking circuit, you know, after you do this.
Oh, I'm doing a TED Talk.
You're doing a TED Talk?
Yeah. On masturbating without lotion. All right. Well,
I think it's time to say goodnight.
All right. Bye, Mr. Gorman.
See you guys.
We'll talk to you later. All right. Here are the headlines.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm here with Mr. Kraft as he's showing me his new necklace called Dream Chaser that he picked up from Meek Mill. How great is that?
I didn't pick up. He gave it when we won. He gave it to me as a present.
How great is it to be out here and know that the fan support is going to be fantastic when you look out there?
It's unbelievable, and they've been there right from the beginning since 2001. Yes, we love you. Thanks. This is so, and we got good weather.
This is so phenomenal to have the fans appreciate everything like that. We'll catch up. Okay, take care. Mr. Kraft getting ready to get on the boat as he's getting a gift from Meek Mill. One of the many things that about Mr. Kraft is that his pop culture style is off the charts.
At least he didn't ask him if Meek Mill was a rapper.
I mean, that really is. Now, that was, if you didn't hear that...
Meek Mill, who has become a friend, and, you know, ever since we played a small part in helping him get out of jail and where he was unfairly treated, in my opinion. Anyhow.
This is a rapper, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's just,
you know, Jonathan awesome. And I have always slayed all suckers who perpetrate. We've been laying down laws from state to state. for a very long time.
I was being serious when I asked him whether or not any of these guys asked him to guest on it. Because, I mean, everyone's guesting on everything. And how unbelievable would it be if they got him in a booth?
You would really have to make it like an old school Daddy Kane beat.
Like super slow and kind of sexy?
Yeah, to get RKK on that thing.
Or just even like a White Lines type beat?
Listen, I mean, you could do anything that you like. you know, you can scout my cameo and I'll still have strength. You know? Your vocab I'll only ignore. I'll be sleeping on your rhymes until I start to snore, you know?
All of a sudden he's Robert Goulet.
I can't do it. I got one voice I can do. By the way, much to the delight of the young woman that we had on the air.
Charlotte Wilder, yes.
Charlotte Wilder, there is a TB Times that came out.
Uh-huh.
And is an alligator that is walking on its upright. It's a, what do they call that, a bipedal or whatever the hell they call it?
A biped?
Biped. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be around the Fenway Park area. And the alligator is pushing away the ram. And so they save that for the world champs.
It's the Heisman pose. And then many people were saying, well, I guess the whole time the alligator was Tom Brady. And that's not true because the alligator appeared in the same comic as Tom Brady many a time.
And there's no mustache on this alligator. There was a mustache on the alligator.
Was it using disguise? Come on. You had to get the story.
I want to know what it means. What's the symbolism? There's a mustache.
I want to know also if we're safe, if this is some kind, because they're knocking down what looks like to be the Pru.
Sure. It's like Rampage.
Yeah. And then there's, he looks to be, he's about to step on Fenway.
Yep. That looks right.
And there's two helicopters. They're shining lights on them. And then there's all kinds of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a smog, which is a subtle sign of environmental. The irresponsibility of corporations with their environmental policies.
Mm-hmm. Jersey's all ripped. They couldn't stay away from them.
Yep. All right. So, Rich, they had mic'd up your own New England Patriots. They
yep.
mic'd them up and during the Super Bowl. It's interesting stuff.
Yep. And it was there was many fascinating things about it. We talked earlier about how Sean McVay, we found out, is a little weird when it comes to his admiration of Mr. Bill Belichick. I mean, he was really... This is before the game started.
He's trying to look for you. Like, you know me.
So much respect for you.
Likewise.
You're the best,
man. Great job.
Yeah, so, you know, you're the best, man. The way that you guys are able to shift your identity and really still be able to figure it out, I mean, week in and week out, it's unbelievable, man. Really, so much respect for you and the way you do it, man. You're what's right about coaching.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, coach.
Okay, and then we also learned that Sean McVay sounds just like faster guy.
Hey, we got one half right now, man. Mm-hmm. You guys should feel real good about where we're at.
There's only so much ampage in the universe.
Because, hey, that's all you can ask for, man.
And when an individual feeds on this ampage, then the government must intervene.
Believe it, man? Me too, man. All right, let's get it done.
So that's where he went. He shrunk. He got a little more youthful and found his way to Los Angeles, and now he is coaching Aaron Donald and the like.
I mean, he found a computer over there in the desert.
In the woods.
Or the woods, I'm sorry.
Nobody actually, or at the bottom of the ocean. You know, no one ever invented the computer. That's where you had to find it first. Well, Bill Belichick.
The next time you're out of town, I just think I'm going to play faster guy stuff.
He's the best. He's the absolute best. So this is near the end of the game. So Edelman, you know, one thing he was saying is that he even knew that he couldn't be covered. And he was saying to Tom Brady, throw it to me. They can't cover me. They can't cover me. So this is, I believe, after Gostkowski kicks the field goal and makes it a 2-score game. And here is Bill Belichick talking to the, I believe he's talking to his defense here.
Okay, look, we got about maybe 15 calls left in this game. Yep. Let's go through and get them right here. Let's just know what we're going to call here. Yep. All right, make sure we have the right personnel in the game and, you know, we know what we're doing.
We don't have much left here now. We got to get it right. Let's make sure we're straight on the doubles. Let's make sure we're straight on the calls, okay? They really can't beat us. We just can't screw it up now. If we're on it, they don't got anything, all right? Let's make sure we got it right, okay?
I mean, the amount of disrespect that's being thrown the Rams' way, even before the game, when it was like, yeah, we already got our game plan in before the week of the Super Bowl. Then you heard some of the players saying that they were going to make Goff crap his pants. And then right there, it's like, we know they don't have anything.
He saw everything that we saw.
He did.
I mean, part of the reason that game was boring, and I'm not complaining. I mean, it was boring. It's not like I didn't, you know, watch it, and I'm not going to, you know, sue the NFL. Was that you knew that the Rams were not going to do anything.
And what's amazing is that this whole time we've been sold this bill of goods, and maybe it was just because, obviously it was an off game, but McVay was this genius, and he would be able to figure things out, and that he'd be able to switch things around, and it was just checkmate. And it was checkmate from...
You can switch whatever you want, but when you have that quarterback, it doesn't matter.
But he didn't switch things up. The Patriots, right, to their credit, knew what was going to happen.
We saw them. They were loose during the week, and this is a little strange. You don't see them usually this loose during Super Bowl week. They knew.
Yep.
They knew Tuesday or Monday, whenever we talked to them at Media Day, they knew that this was going to play out this
way.
All
their tendencies, they followed. And offensively, the Rams' tendencies, they followed. But they couldn't establish a running game. Lord knows what's wrong with Gurley. He skipped out on the media session to end their season. So Lord knows what was going on with him. But, I mean, they couldn't establish a running game, and then they didn't make any adjustments offensively, and to the credit of Flores and Belichick. I'm very nervous, by the way, that if I'm Miami, about signing Flores.
Why? After what you just saw?
Because Belichick is a defensive genius, and I don't know what Flores does.
But Patricia couldn't do that.
Yeah, it's a little different.
So say what you will, but we've seen one guy who wasn't able to succeed that way.
I mean, for a game.
Will he translate as a head coach? Maybe, maybe not. But Flores is certainly very good at his job.
I mean, as was Patricia.
For the playoffs, the defense was great.
I watched Patricia in that Super Bowl. I mean, as I said before.
You're isolating one game.
No, I'm saying for the playoffs. I mean, they took Tyreek Hill completely out of that Kansas City game. In the first half, didn't they hold the Kansas City to 3 points?
I don't say he's not a good defensive coordinator. I'm saying the Belichick coaching tree sucks.
Well, but then that's true.
Flores was in that position. Flores has been with Belichick his entire career and got that position and held it for 1 year.
Okay, then I guess what I would say is that watching the Super Bowl would ease my worries a little bit. I mean, you couldn't be coming off a better game.
He won't be worse than Patricia.
No.
I'm not saying that.
I agree.
I'm just very nervous if I'm Miami about taking a guy with that limited experience and hiring him.
Well, I understand that. Now, this is... Okay, so you remember when it was third down... And if this is before Gostkowski kicked the field goal, it was third down, and there were, I think, a yard and a half. And on the mic'd up segment, you could hear Tom Brady telling his offense, it's a yard and a half to the Super Bowl. Like, we're winning the Super Bowl. Well, he's got to get a yard and a half. Remember, they got stuffed. So now the decision needed to be made. Remember, it took a while for them to figure out whether or not they were going to, Gostkowski was going to get out there and do it, or they were going to try to go for it. And listen to this mic'd up between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
On fourth and inches, leaving the door open to get stuffed, and a minute and change left for Sean McVay and the Rams.
Always kick a field goal.
You good on the field goal?
We'll get the field goal.
40-yarder, game's over.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Field goal, Steve, field goal.
The Patriots are going to send Gostkowski out.
So it was Brady who told Belichick that he wanted to kick the field goal. And he looked at you guys good with the field goal? And said, let's do it. And they got Gostkowski out there, and he did it, and he iced it. So that, which I thought was interesting. I mean, you know, for Belichick being the mastermind, he conceded to Tom Brady and was like, what do you think? Brady's like, I think we go for a field goal. And he goes, yep, I think, all right, let's do it. And then after that, of course, they end up winning. And listen to Belichick. Now, this is very un-Belichick-like. This is him on the sidelines after they end up winning. And listen to what he's yelling. Hey, right here.
The kick by Zerline, sailing to the up line, and the kick is no good.
You did a great job.
Yeah, awesome. You're going to
race. This one's going to sting for a while.
Okay, I've seen all of the post-game mic'd up Super Bowl stuff. Have you ever seen Bill Belichick pumping his fist, yelling, we're champions, we're champs?
No.
I've never seen that emotion. I've seen him get happy and hug guys and say, I love you and do that. But, I mean, he's like yelling, we're champions, like to himself with his fist in the air and then going up to other people going, we're champs. And putting his arm around him. I don't think I've ever seen him express himself like that. Like, that was... This one seemed a little different than the rest. Did it not to you?
No, it did. Well,
the fact that Kim Fields was on the field.
Tootie was there?
Screaming at him, good job, good job.
I thought that was Josh. I thought that was McDaniels.
No, that was...
I'm sorry.
That was Kim Fields.
That's my mistake.
From Living Single.
McDaniels sounds like Tootie?
Yeah.
He does.
Wait, that was McDaniels?
No.
I don't know
who
it was. I forget who it was.
I thought it was Tootie because I saw her out there.
Tootie was there?
Oh, yeah. Kim Fields, Atlanta, yeah. She was the first one on the field.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have to see that.
She was like Morgana the Kissing Band.
Okay, well, here is Belichick to Edelman and Brady after the game, mic'd up.
Hey, you guys are awesome.
Love it. You guys are awesome.
Love it, coach.
Love it. Love it.
The Iron Man, Julian Edelman.
MVP.
You ball out, bro. I'm so proud of you. Love you, too.
Are you in the group?
I am.
Oh, you're
kiss
him.
Yes. Crazy,
okay,
bro.
That at the very end was Slater going up to Edelman, which we now know apparently they lived together for a while. And Slater goes, are you MVP? And Edelman goes, yeah. And he grabs him, and it looks like he almost starts crying. And he's just like, yeah, and gives him a bear hug and won't let go. And he goes, you deserve it, man. When he pulls back, it looks like he's got tears in his eyes. Good old Slater. Who doesn't love Slater?
Yep.
Get in here and get a good Slatering.
Math, value, physics.
Is that what MVP stands for, bro? Okay, all right. I appreciate that. Very nice.
Now daddy's going to go home and buy that chemistry set.
Why do you think Belichick seemed to like this one? Not like this, but express himself, like seemed happier at this one than almost any other
because
one.
Everyone gave up on him, myself included. I didn't think they'd win the Super Bowl.
And also, I think that he knows that this might be the end. And this is very exciting.
Well, they got to change the roster. They got a lot of older guys. They're not going to pay these older guys all the money. Gronk may be gone. Yeah. It's different.
Whatever happens next year,
it's different. It's kind of like when he lost both coordinators. He lost Cronell and he lost Weiss. There was like a big hug between the three of them at the end of that 2004 Super Bowl. He knew everything was going to change. And I think that's exactly right. I think the roster that comes to camp in July is going to be different than the roster you saw last weekend.
It's going to be much different. I mean, yes. Hightower is probably not going to be on the team. Gronkowski's not going to be on the team. Their left tackle is going to be gone, who doesn't watch film.
And Trent Brown.
Trent Brown, who doesn't watch film, and they're going to have that kid they drafted in there. So,
Isaiah Wynn, that's right. Yeah.
Somebody said, we're champions. Bill Belichick gets as excited to win the Super Bowl as that Atlanta radio host does over a soccer touchdown.
Yes.
Remember when they
Kamla.
Won the soccer?
Yeah.
We're champions, man. We're champions.
Bro.
Did I tell you I got a bro hug from Kamla at the media party? Oh, I got the little chicken wing, you know, pat on the back type of
thing.
And
he pulled you in?
Oh, yeah.
Did he call you bro?
Yes, he did, actually. What's up, bro?
And his hand strayed.
Yeah.
God, we're champions, dude! We're champions!
Yeah. All right, we have to break. Billy Jaffe going to be in studio.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. The official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.